If you would, please look in your Bibles at Psalm 119. Today is August the 30th, 2020. 2020. You know, for some people, this may go down as one of the most difficult years of their life. You know, it's common in pretty much most years to hear about natural disasters like tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and fires, and we've certainly seen those things this year. And even if those things don't directly affect us, when we hear about them, we're concerned. We might know people who live in those areas, or and we're still just concerned when things like that come up, especially like this last Hurricane Laura. In addition to natural disasters, this year of 2020, we're all experiencing something that doesn't happen very often, a global pandemic. And of course, we pray for those who are sick to get healed. We pray for the therapeutics, the treatments, so that people can be treated if they do get sick. But, you know, through all of this, we all hear conflicting information. And so, you know, we're not only dealing with concerns of the plague, but also with a lot of confusion. And you know, the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. And who would have ever imagined the violence in our cities, riots? People have been injured and killed, property vandalized and destroyed. And it baffles many of us that it just continues. You know, we're kind of perplexed at why, you know, local government officials don't ask for some federal help to stop it. And then on top of all of that, we're hearing all the noise that goes with a general presidential election coming up in a couple of months. And some of us who have lived long enough and have spiritual eyes to see are quite stunned at the choices this time around. Not a choice of different ideas or different policies, but a choice of totally opposite ideologies. And with all of that going on around us here in 2020, there are plenty of people dealing with personal issues as well. Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues. You know, there are people who are afraid, people who are discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned, disheartened, in despair. And, you know, that is, again, why I try to consistently remind us that people need love and they need the light of God's Word. And so, speaking about being discouraged and disappointed, look at Psalm 119, verse 83. It's a long psalm, isn't it? It's the longest psalm in the Bible. Verse 83, it says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." I am become like a bottle in the smoke. There are people who feel like a bottle in the smoke, and that is an idiom. You know, in addition to understanding idioms relating to the culture of Bible times, understanding figures of speech is also helpful. And there are three main figures of comparison that you not only see in the Bible, but they are also used all the time by people today. The first one, and it's what we see here in Psalm 119, verse 83, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." The first one is called a simile, and that is a comparison by resemblance. And usually you'll see the words like or as. You know, if a person's a really good swimmer, someone might say, "Wow, he swims like a fish." Here in verse 83, "like a bottle in the smoke." If you keep your finger here and go to the very first psalm, it's interesting that the very first psalm in the Bible starts with the word blessed, which means happy. Blessed is the man or the woman that God's going to show us how to be blessed, how to be happy. Blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Boy, that's a pretty apropos for today, isn't it? You want to be blessed? Well, then you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't stand in the way of sinners. Stand means carry out, you know, the plans. Sits in the seat of the scornful to agree with the scoffers. But his delight, or her delight, for a person that wants to be happy and blessed, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And the result, and he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed, how to be happy. And again, that's a simile. Be like a tree. It's a comparison by resemblance. Now, if you wanted to add more emphasis to a comparison, the second one's called a metaphor. And a metaphor is defined as a comparison by representation. In the fish example I gave you, the metaphor would be, he is a fish. So you wouldn't say, wow, he swims like a fish. You'd go, look, he's a fish. He is a fish. You might remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now that's more emphasis than saying, I am like the vine, and you are like the branches. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a metaphor. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and broke it, and he said, this is my body. This bread that I'm breaking represents my body, which is being broken for you. And with the wine, he said, this is my blood. This wine represents my blood, or my life being poured out for you for the remission of sins. So those are metaphors. And then if you want to just go full board, just go all out with even more emphasis and intensity, the third one's called hypokatastasis. And that's a comparison by implication. So in the fish example, instead of comparing the swimmer with a fish by saying he is like a fish, or saying he is a fish, with the hypokatastasis, the comparison is just implied, and you'd simply say, wow, look at that fish. Great emphasis and great intensity. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, Jesus didn't say the devil is like a thief. He didn't say the devil is a thief. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus put some very serious emphasis on his statement, the thief. You know, in Philippians, Paul said, beware of dogs. The context of that is to beware of legalistic religious people. Beware of dogs. So whether it's hypokatastasis or metaphor or simile, these figures are used throughout the Bible. And when we recognize them and understand a little bit of the Bible culture as well, the meaning of many verses becomes clear. So back in Psalm 119, in verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. In Bible times, people who didn't have a well of their own, poor people, they would keep a supply of water in a goat skin. Man, when you think about the modern conveniences we have, can you imagine if that's where you, I mean, we walk into the kitchen, we turn the water on. Oh, we can go in the bathroom and turn the water on, right? We can go outside and turn the water on. There's water. It just flows like a river, you know. But what if we needed some water and we went to the goat skin that was hanging? That's what they would use after, once they skinned it and cleaned it all up, they would tie the four legs with rope, and then they would pour fresh water in, tie the neck with rope, and then it would hang like on a pole or something. And of course, when it was empty, then you had to go fill it again. And so many people lived in small, a lot of them one-room dwellings, and that's where they would sleep, cook, and eat. And as a result from the cooking, the bottle, this goat skin, would hang there, subject to smoke and heat. And over time, it would crack and then finally leak, becoming useless. So in that culture, if you were to tell someone, well, I'm just like a bottle in the smoke, they would easily understand. See, because the bottle in the smoke that's hanging there, it can't control the unpleasant circumstances that surrounds it. It's just hanging there, all alone and helpless. At times in life, people may feel this way. Like the psalmist did, verse 83, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. But then he went on to say, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He knew his deliverance would come from God, but without God, he was helpless, just a bottle in the smoke. In our lives, especially with so much going on this year, there may be times when we feel discouraged, disappointed, alone, afraid, confused, angry, especially when circumstances beyond our control so affect us that we might feel like a bottle in the smoke, absolutely useless, or at times just helpless. If we choose to think of ourselves as helpless or useless, you know what? Then that's on you. You know why? Because we all decide what we are going to think regardless of the situation. Last Monday, Reverend Cummins did an outstanding teaching called Proving the Will of God, How to Think Like a Child of God. If you missed it, you ought to listen to it. It will greatly encourage you. But you know, you think about discouragement. One of the great examples in the Bible is Job. You want to talk about having a bad year? Holy cow! What happened to that man? He lost everything. And yet he held fast to the word of God. Reminds me of, yet do I not forget thy statutes. There are absolutely, no question, plenty of things that are outside of our control. Things going on in our country. Maybe people treat you unfairly. People we love who might be on the wrong path. But what we can control is our own thinking. And, you know, that doesn't mean we become callous or oblivious to everything that's going on. I'm just in my own bubble here. But my thoughts, my thinking, regardless of what's going on, see, that's always on me. Proverbs 23 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, guard your thought with all diligence, for out of it, out of your own heart, out of it are the issues of life, your life. Romans 12 in the Working Translation, do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is that good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's probably familiar, but it's good to look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God is concerned about our thoughts because God knows how he made us. He knows how our thoughts, our own thoughts, affect us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. And you know what? It's not God's job. That's my job. That's on me. And if I don't do it, you know what? It's still on me. That's what God said to do, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Again, I'm sure this is familiar, but in light of what I'm sharing with you this morning, great to review these wonderful verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful," and it would be much better translated, "Be anxious," mentally distracted, stressed out. "Be anxious for nothing." That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Because things come up that do stress us out, that do get us distressed, that do get us anxious. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything," and that would have to include the things that are stressing us out, right? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Result? "And the peace of God." That's the opposite to being anxious, stressed, distracted. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," look at this, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then it goes on to say, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Well, okay, that's some good advice, isn't it? This is God's direction on not only what will bless you to think about, but also what to do when we are anxious, mentally distracted, stressed, no matter who or why the cause of it. When we get into those situations, we should just stop and pray. Sometimes we face situations that are hard. Sometimes we face situations that are emotional. But God still says pray. Don't sit there and stew about it. Don't sit there and worry about it. God says pray. And you know what? If that means that we got to stop and pray every 15 minutes during a day, well, then do what God says to do. Stop and pray. Look at the results. Look at the results there in verse 7. "And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If we don't have that peace of God, then we must be stressing somewhere. So stop and then do what? Pray. "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God." That's what Jesus Christ did. He prayed. Prayed a lot. I mean, we can read about when he got up early, way before anybody else, and went somewhere and prayed. Another place says he prayed all night. There's another place you can read where he prayed half the night. You can read the prayer in John 17. The whole chapter's his prayer before he's arrested. And we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at that for just a second. Luke chapter 22. Our wonderful Savior, Luke chapter 22. This is right before he got arrested. I would say it's a pretty stressful time. You think? Luke 22, you know, he's praying, and verse 43 says, "There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." And it says, verse 44 of Luke 22, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Being in an agony. That word agony comes from a word that means conflict, competition, or a struggle, like in a wrestling match. And this word here in Luke means a mental or emotional struggle. And what does it say he did? "And being in an emotional struggle, he prayed more earnestly." My goodness, what an example for us. Be anxious, mentally distracted for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep and guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, think about these things. Think about this. Let's go back to Psalm 119, if you would, please. Psalm 119, where we started. And let's look at verse 82. Psalm 119, verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will you comfort me? How long am I going to have to go through this? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. Not going to forget. I'm not going to forget God's word. Because, see, it's God's word that gives us the strength, gives us the courage, gives us the comfort and hope in difficult times. And we always have a choice. We can choose victimhood. Poor me. I'm just an old bottle in the smoke. It's just, that's me. It's, see me hanging there? That's my life. Nothing's ever going to change. I'm just an old bottle in the smoke. And we can choose victimhood if we want. Or we can choose to replace those thoughts, cast down those thoughts, put into our minds who God says we really are. We can cast all our cares on him because he truly does care for us. I would like to read something with you if you would turn to Psalm 129, not too far away. Beginning with, we're going to Psalm 129, but beginning with Psalm 120, there are 15 psalms referred to as songs of degrees. Dr. Bullinger and other Bible scholars note that of these 15, there are 5 sections, each section then, of course, having 3 psalms. In each of the 5 sections, the first psalm is about being distressed. The second one is about trust. And the third one is about deliverance, blessings, and peace. 5 sections in a row like this. It's really awesome. You know, perhaps in those times when we're feeling, you know, the pressures, we might want to stop and read 1 or 2 or maybe even all 5 sections. I wanted to close this morning by reading the 3 psalms in the 4th section. They're all pretty short, but so we're in Psalm 129. This is the 4th section. Might even say in your Bible, a song of degrees. So first there's distress, then there's trust, and then you get the beautiful deliverance from God. Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which wither afore it grows up. Wherewith the mowers filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Look at this last verse. Neither do they which go by say, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. No, they don't even say, God bless me. Yeah. We bless you in the name of the Lord. No, nobody even says, God bless you to me. Next in this section, Psalm 130, the trust. Out of the depths I have cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that thou mayest be feared or reverenced. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope or trust. My soul waits for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And now verse 131, and we see the deliverance. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Do you see the simile there in verse 2? You see it twice? As a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Instead of saying I'm like a bottle in the smoke. No, here the psalmist says, I am as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Look at the peace and comfort. Wow, what a beautiful picture this paints, doesn't it? Not a charred old cracked goat skin hanging near the stove. Not a bottle in the smoke. But as a weaned child laying on his or her mother, comforted, peaceful, satisfied, protected, safe, delivered. Isn't that a beautiful picture? In this year of 2020, really any year for that matter, we may face times of discouragement or crisis. We may be tempted to despair or be afraid. In those times, as in all times, our thoughts, our thinking is still our choice. We can choose to think what God says. We can choose to think like a child of God should think. We can remember where our help comes from. We can look to God, rely on God. We can rely on His reliability. We can trust in His great grace. We can stay persistent in prayer, and we can choose to trust in our ever-delivering and ever-powerful God and Father. Shall we pray? Our wonderful, gracious, loving, kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love. We praise You for Your greatness. And we are just so thankful, Father, that we have Your words to read. And that, Father, You can direct us, because life is not always peaches and roses. And we all face times that are difficult. And, Father, You have not been silent in Your word concerning that. Thank You that Your deliverance, Your power, Your solutions are always available. Thank You, Father, that we can rely on You and trust in You. And Father, that we can, as Your children, believe who we are, that we truly belong to You and that You truly care for us, and that we can put all of our trust in You. We thank You this morning, Father, for Your many blessings on our lives. We pray, Father, that we can walk this week manifesting Your love and speaking Your light. Thank You for the great opportunities that You give us in this day and time to help others, to reach out and bless other people. And thank You, Father, for the great hope that we are now one day closer to when we will see Jesus Christ face to face. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being here. This teaching will be posted on the blog a little later today. And we will be back here again next Sunday, unless, of course, the Lord returns. I hope that happens, but until either happens, let's refuse to be like a bottle in the smoke and instead be like a tree planted by the waters. Have a very blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you.